Our message tonight is taken from Isaiah 52, verse 13, and John chapter 13, verse 1. Isaiah 52, 13, and John 13, verse 1. Of course, Isaiah 52 is the beginning of what's called a servant song, the servant songs of Isaiah. And the servant songs of Isaiah are really talking about Christ and his ministry, of course, hundreds of years in advance. And one of those servant songs has a direct allusion, I believe, to the communion service, which I want to share this evening with you. Isaiah 52, 13. Behold, my servant shall deal prudently. Let's just ask the Lord to bless us as we open his word. Father in heaven, Lord, we're thankful for the call to communion and to a service, foot washing that happened every day, multiple times throughout the week, in the first century, and probably should happen much more often in our own spiritual lives as well. But help us to catch a glimpse of it this evening that could be a blessing to our souls, and then through us, through your grace to others. In Christ's name, amen. Behold, my servant shall deal wisely or prudently. So the idea of a servant, what is a servant? A servant is subordinate, serving someone else, under the direction of someone else. And they serve according to the leadership of the superior. And Jesus made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a what? A servant, a slave, a bond servant. And this is exactly what happened. Behold, my servant shall deal wisely. He shall be exalted. And of course, he was exalted in the resurrection. He shall be extolled. He had the resurrection and also ascension. And when he went through the heavenly courts, he said, open up, you everlasting doors. Who is this King of glory, the Lord strong in battle? And when he came, he was extolled. But even now, he's being vindicated. And none of these things could happen unless he had humbled himself first. You can't lift something up that's already lifted up. You can't exalt something that's already exalted. You can't make something very high that has not yet been made very low. And so the story of the gospel is that God, in his infinite wisdom and love, made himself of no reputation and became a bond servant. And the foot washing is a picture, to be a picture of this loving self-sacrifice. John 13, verse 1 now. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come, that he should depart from this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. He loved them to the end. Have you ever had someone tell you they love you, only to change their mind? How many of you have ever been through a painful experience like that? But God loved until the what? The end. And true love is only the love that loves to the end. Having loved his own, who were a feast that was being celebrated at this time, what did it say? What feast was it? And what did the Passover remind them of? How they left Egypt, and they left by the what? The blood of the Lamb over their doorposts. And this reminded them of what God had done to deliver them, but also what he would do to deliver them. And he would love not just at the beginning, but to the end. Well, of course, the Passover pointed them to who? To Jesus, the Lamb of God. And did Jesus know this when he was coming to the communion service? Did he understand the Passover service? Did he understand the time that he had come to in his life? If you knew that you were about to die, what would you do? What would you focus on? Who would you focus on? What would most men do at a time like this? They would be filled with anxiety, maybe even panic. Of course, Jesus had anxiety in the Garden of Gethsemane, not because of anything he had done, but because he had an experience he'd never had before, sensing the weight of the Son of the world. They might have been filled with anger and thoughts of revenge. And of course, the disciples were when they saw what was happening to Jesus. As Judas betrayed him with a kiss, Peter took out his sword and chopped off the ear of a servant. And Jesus, what did Jesus do? He healed the servant's ear. Now, the miracles of Christ are pronounced in many. In fact, the ones in the New Testament are only representative. In Luke, it says he healed them all. And in John, it says there were so many miracles that all the books in the world could not hold them all. He had healed everyone, whole cities. It didn't matter if they weren't believers, they were healed. And here, this great healer is now being betrayed. No doubt, most people would focus on anger and revenge. But where was Christ's focus? His focus was entirely on others, preparing them for ministry, doing what was necessary on their behalf. This took a very practical tone with the foot washing, which we are going to celebrate this evening before the Lord's Supper. Everyone in that time and era needed their feet washed. This is why we don't really appreciate the magnitude of this service. But everybody needed their feet washed because they had walked the dusty trails. Their feet were grimy and soiled. Some had come through the rain and mud, others through the excrement of animals. Everyone needed their feet washed. There was nobody who did not need this service. And so in every home and in every public place, there were basins that were there for this purpose, for washing feet. And this was no exception in the upper room where Jesus and his disciples had a room prepared. There was a towel also provided that was there, as there was in every home, in every place you went at that time. It was almost just automatic. However, no one was washing either the disciples nor Jesus' feet. And why was that? Why was no one washing their feet? Maybe ask that question to the person next to you to see if they're alive still. Why was no one washing their feet? Go ahead, you can turn to the person next to you and ask them a question. Tyler?
No, it's okay. All right. If you're not sitting next to someone, you should move next to someone. So why was it? Now that you've discussed it, why was it? I don't hear anything. Why was it? Because there was not a servant there to do it, right? It was something that was supposed to be done by the lowest ranking slave. Whenever you went into a room, you would always see who is the lowest ranking person here. And that person washed the other's feet. And nobody was willing to admit that they were the lowest ranking person in the room. Nobody. No one believed they were the lowest ranking slave. In fact, they were having a dispute about who is the greatest. So instead of thinking about who was the lowest, they were thinking about who is the greatest. No, you must be the greatest. No, you. In fact, the mother of Zebedee's sons, James and John, came to Jesus not so long before this, kneeling down and asking, "Grant that these two sons of mine might sit, one on your right hand and the other on your left, in your kingdom." So now you even have parents involved, and probably not a more deadly mix than parents who promote their kids. And here it is happening at this time. The other disciples heard about the parents and what they were doing with their kids, and they got upset. Jesus was in a predicament because he was with a group of people, all of which thought they were the greatest or pretty far up there. What was he going to do? Hadn't he even said, "Whoever desires to become great among you, let him be your servant, and whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave"? Wasn't it Jesus that said that repeatedly? And here at the service, nobody is willing to wash one another's feet, and everybody needed it. I mean, just to get an idea of the culture, the Middle Eastern culture, the biggest, the thing you can do the worst in the Middle Eastern culture is to, well, I'll show you. You remember that? What was the guy doing? Throwing his shoe at the president of the United States. And that is the lowest you can get in the Middle East. I was just in the Middle East recently. I was up front in Cairo, and I was about to speak, and we were singing a song, and I happened to cross my legs with my foot kind of facing the congregation a bit, and the minister, he said, "Excuse me, please put your foot down, because this is highly offensive," which I knew. I don't know why I didn't remember that. This was the most offensive thing, to wash someone's feet, to be next to their... We just don't understand this in our culture that much. Right? We don't. So I'm just trying to get you a little flavor, because we're about to have a foot washing service, so you understand why it's important, right? So what did Jesus do? He poured the water. This would have totally got their attention right there. What is he doing? Wait a minute. The lowest person is supposed to do. This is the highest person. Oh, no. He put on the garb of the lowest servant or slave. It says he took his robe off. If you read the servant songs in Isaiah, one of them shows the servant walking naked for 3.5 years. How long did Jesus minister? So he acts out Isaiah 20 by putting on that garment. He carefully washed and then wipes their feet. Nobody would have agreed with what he was doing. In fact, they might have said, stop that. In fact, Peter said, you're not going to wash my feet. And Jesus said, if I don't wash your feet, you're lost. Additionally, he would arrange that in that week that they would not be taken captive with him from Gethsemane. Let these people go. He would arrange for his mother to be cared for. He would arrange for the disciples themselves, especially Peter, would not be overly discouraged by their own denial and betrayal. Here he is thinking about the very people betraying him and saying, I'm going to pray for you. How many are beginning to see the picture of love here? He's not saying to the disciples, you know, I don't think you really measure up. You know, you're not what I'm looking for. You got some character flaws. I need some other disciples. He doesn't give up on his disciples when they're giving up on him. He loved his own when they looked unlovable. And he loves you when you look unlovable too. He cared for those who could care less, for those who did not understand, for those who should have and could have understood. He was washing their feet. The most humiliating thing he could do.
I had a nursing instructor who in her office behind her head had a bedpan on the wall. I went into the office the first time. I said, why do you have a bedpan on your wall? She said, I was hoping you would ask that. I have a bedpan on the wall because this is the most humbling thing a nurse does. But it's the most important thing they do. Those of you in foundations of nursing, that's one of the most important things you can do. As you do it with grace, you reach people in a way they never could be reached. This so impressed me that I once invited all my colleagues from the hospital to come, and I had a sermon called Bedpans and His Plans. And I handed out a picture of a bedpan with my face in the bedpan. This caused quite a stir. About 40 people came to the service that day. I told the story about how that bedpan had impacted me. This foot washing would have impacted everybody that heard about it. For centuries, we're so far removed, it doesn't impact us as much, which is why I'm trying to help you see the extent of the love that is being shown in the foot washing. How many are beginning to see it? At a moment when most would have been wholly concerned with themselves, he was totally focused on meeting the needs of others. What does John 13:1 say? He loved them to the end. I'm taking my wife to Scotland in a couple weeks, where we went on our honeymoon after we got married a few years ago, 30 years ago. And one of the things we looked at when we were in Edinburgh long ago were these two creatures. One a human, the other a dog. Both love stories. George Matheson wrote the hymn in the hymn book, "O Love That Will Not Let Me Go." Had a girlfriend, told the girlfriend that he was going blind, said, "Would you still marry me?" She said, "No." And she left him abruptly. He did not measure up to her standards. This hurt him deeply. He thought it was true love, but it was not a love to the end. It was a love that would easily let go. Then his sister took care of him, and she got married. And when she got married, she and her husband were going to move out. And in one night, he wrote the song, "O Love That Will Not Let Me Go." It says, "There's one love that will not let me go. It's the love of God." And my wife and I looked all over for this church. We didn't have Google back then. Finally, we found it. And we found the hearth where it was written, "O Love That Will Not Let Me Go." But then there's another, Gray Friars Bobby. A friar is a name for a clergyman, and this little terrier loved his master very much. When his master died in 1858, he went to the funeral, and he would not leave the grave of his master. They tried to get him to leave. He would not leave. He would find a way to come back and stand by the grave. Only one time a day, when the cannon sounded from the top of the Royal Mile in the castle, would he run to a tavern where he and the friar had eaten many meals, and they would feed him a meal, and then he would run right back. And he did this for 16 years until he died every single day. It so touched the hearts of the populace that he became more famous than almost anyone else who had ever lived in Edinburgh. Why? Because he had a love that never ended. He loved his master to the end. How many of you are willing to admit that you don't have this kind of love? You're willing to give up on people rapidly. Maybe you get angry, and I don't know, if you're like me, this is something that you don't have. How many of you say we need more of that kind of love? True love does not trifle. What does it mean to trifle? What does it mean to trifle? Doesn't mess around. It follows completely through. True love humbles itself. True love stoops low that it might lift up. Now, this is the kind of love God has. This is what he was trying to show in the foot washing service. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They're new every morning, new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness, O Lord. Great is thy faithfulness. And that is the purpose of the foot washing. So as you're washing the feet of a person tonight, have in your mind that you're taking the place of the lowest servant on the totem pole, and you're doing what Jesus did.
Can you think about that while you're doing it? It's not just something to get through. It's something to fully embrace. Maybe pray with each other that you would have more of the spirit of this song, "Make Me a Servant, Humble and Meek." Lord, let me lift up those who are weak. And may the prayer of my heart always be, "Make me a servant. Make me a servant. Make me a servant today."
This media was brought to you by Audioverse, a website dedicated to spreading God's word through free sermon audio and much more. If you would like to know more about Audioverse, or if you would like to listen to more sermons, please visit www.audioverse.org.